Good evening and welcome to The Pulse, your connection to the heartbeat of the medical community, bringing you the latest healthcare information, newest technology, and up-close and personal interviews with the physicians and employees who serve Summit Healthcare Regional Medical Center. I'm your host, Barbara Bruce, and thank you for joining us. Today, we're going to be talking about the Level 2 nursery. So if you find something that sparks your attention that you feel needs to be shared, this show is replayed in its entirety on Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. on News Talk 970 and 1270. That is AM. And anyone can listen from all over the world if they go to the World Wide Web, 970kvwm.com. And today I'm excited because I have two ladies in with me that are really able to talk to us about the Level 2 nursery. And I have with me, of course, Sarah Basinger, who is the Director of Women and Infant Services. Welcome.
Thanks, Barbara. It's great to be here.
Well, it's good to have you back again because so many things have happened since I saw you last that we'll be able to update people on many things.
Absolutely.
And also we have with us Robin Wells. She is a neonatal nurse practitioner, and we are excited to have you here.
I'm excited to be here as well. Thank you.
And for people that don't know what neonates are, we're going to tell them today, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Good. Good to have you both. Sarah, what has been going on other than the certification that you got that many people read about but may not really understand?
The Level 2 nursery is a service that we have increased, and we obtained our certification last year from the Arizona Perinatal Trust, which certifies hospitals in different levels of care that they can provide to the public. And we were certified as a Level 2 nursery, which all Level 2 nurseries in the state that are certified through the trust can care for neonates of gestational ages 32 weeks and above, based on certain criteria. Of course, if they need to be on ventilators or require higher levels of care, they would need to be transferred at any gestational age. But the trust really says, you know, you can electively deliver patients 32 weeks gestation and above with this certification. So Summit has decided that they're going to take a stepwise approach down to that 32 weeks. And so currently we care for 35 weeks gestation and above, but we are going to be decreasing that gestational age to 32 weeks over the next 2 years to provide that level of care to our patients here.
That's fantastic. We know that in our area, we have an influx of people coming in, and it seems like we're really having a lot of babies.
We are. You know, last year we had about 940 deliveries here at Summit. And this year, we are ahead of schedule. We have had the number of deliveries this year that we had last year by April. So we expect that number to go up this year and be a little over 1,000.
You know, that is totally amazing. And all of us, just like any other service, we prefer to stay here on the mountain. In fact, how in the world would a mom get all the way down the mountain if she was going to deliver when she gets that first labor pain?
Yeah, it's really an exciting time for our community because it's going to allow mothers and babies to stay on the mountain that would generally have been flown to Phoenix or Flagstaff or even Tucson. And so it's an exciting time. It is based on what's going on with the baby and with the mom. Will be dependent upon if they stay here. But we have very strict criteria that when we evaluate neonates and mothers to decide if we're going to transport or not. But it's exciting.
It is exciting, and this is a perfect segue over to Robin, because if we have a neonatal nurse practitioner, then that means that we have upgraded.
Well, thank you. We started having conversations with Summit Healthcare at the end of last year, and at the end of 2010. By the beginning of 2011, we had contracted to provide services, which we started in May. the practitioners being part of the team now at Summit broadens the scope of what can be cared for, not because those babies couldn't be cared for by the pediatricians, because we work in conjunction and co-manage with them, but because it allows the pediatricians and the family practice physicians to stay in their offices and us to provide the care in the hospital. We're not 100% time yet, not full 24/7, but that will be the goal as we continue to increase our census and go down in gestational age. The group of people we've brought up here are very experienced. Most of us have between 20 and 30 years of experience in the role. Most people are very excited to be up here, like the ability to help grow something from the ground up. I, working in Phoenix, have received a lot of the patients that came from Summit, so I'm very aware of how the families felt about not only the distance, but being away from their families, feeling almost like they would like to clone themselves. So it's very exciting for me to be able to be up here and help keep that family unit together and the support structure intact.
And the company that you work for is?
Neonatology Associates Limited. They provided us as an allied health service. They've partnered with Summit Healthcare.
This really means a lot to a lot of people. And what you just touched on, Robin, really speaks to every mom and dad up here, even the grandparents.
Yes.
Because you know that if that little neonate has to be somewhere else, that's not a good thing. People are away from home. It costs more money. There's just so many things. Plus, you're already uprooted your whole daily routine with trying to get to the hospital, stay at the hospital all the time.
Yeah.
Explain to people, and I think that this is real important that we let people know, they hear terminology and they may be able to, by deductive reasoning, figure out what it is. But what actually is a neonate?
A neonate is a newborn infant up to the age of about 28 days. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have children that stay with us for a longer period of time than that, but that's the common definition. It's not related to what gestational age they were born at. And we can, going down to 32 weeks, that will really broaden things. But even just going down to 35 and 34 weeks is going to allow more patients to stay on the mountain and to keep their families intact. So we're very excited that for whatever newborn services are required, that we can provide a good amount of the care that's needed. No place other than the level 3 nurseries get to keep the sickest of the sick children, so that was never going to be the goal at Summit, but it certainly allows us to increase the number of patients that can stay here.
That's fantastic. And Sarah, of course, I know that this has meant a lot to you, knowing that we had over 900 deliveries last year, and I wonder how many went off the mountain when we didn't have this service.
You know, we looked at that and we were able to capture over half of the transports that used to go off the mountain now stay here. And so that was really exciting for those families to keep those babies here on the mountain. You know, the other thing that it has allowed for and will continue to grow is that as we partner with those hospitals in Phoenix and with NAL, those babies can now come back to our hospital and have their last week or so in the hospital, transitioning home in our nursery, so those families get to even come home even quicker. So if those babies do get transported down to Phoenix, that last week there is a possibility that those babies could come back to us, and those parents and grandparents can be back on the mountain and closer to home in their transition to home with that baby.
That's fantastic, and often we know that people already have other siblings at home that they have to worry about. And it is better when everybody can be together. That's the goal, without a doubt. Robin, what attracted you to this area of expertise?
When I first started nursing, I was attracted to intensive care. I worked in adult ICU and CCU, and when I came into Phoenix, I knew nothing about Arizona, and I was floated to a neonatal unit. It piqued my interest, and there were a few people that I worked with that thought they saw potential that I had, encouraged me, and I've been in the intensive care nursery in Phoenix since 1978 till I moved up here, or actually started working at Summit in May of 2011. So I love what I do, and having had the conversations with parents when they had their sick children in Phoenix, and then having conversations with parents that had that in-between group of patients, just knowing how much it meant to them to have to be coming back and forth, and especially when you're talking about weather, because now you're impacting that they can't get to their children at certain times, either coming back to them or going down. So for me, it was both the fact that I could interact and actually have a positive impact for the family, as well as providing really good care for the patient, the baby.
And you have seen so much. That is what is amazing to me. I shared with you that years ago, I worked with a group of neonatologists, and I was always amazed at what they did. I was their legal liaison, so I always handled all the paperwork. And of course, when you have paperwork, it's very important and timely, but life is much more important. And I had to follow those neonatal docs into the NICU, and I would look. I couldn't believe those little bitty babies that were so tiny, and I could see their veins through their feet. Mm-hmm. And my sister-in-law was a neonatal nurse clinician, and she always said to me, they're much stronger than you think.
Oh, they can do things that an adult would, you and I would not be able to tolerate near what they can tolerate. They're very resilient human beings, much more so than even pediatric patients and adults to me at times.
And of course, because of your presence there and that touch, that human touch, knowing that someone is there in the room, they don't just survive, they thrive.
Yes, they do.
And, you know, we are able to keep those parents and allow that bonding to occur that is really disrupted when families are transported to Phoenix. When that occurs, it's quite unfortunate because that bonding gets interrupted in the transport because the parents aren't always able to go with the neonate. And then just in the transition period with them trying to find a hotel or staying with other loved ones or those types of things, that bonding can be interrupted. And so it's really exciting to know that we're making a difference in that respect.
Oh, absolutely. I can only imagine, you know, you get this new little bundle of joy and then you have to be separated. That has to be absolutely horrible.
Absolutely. I have not had it happen, but I have spoken with parents who have had babies that are transported off of the mountain, and it really is difficult for them in many aspects, whether it be money, whether it be just they're worried about their baby and they don't know how they're going to make it down and they have to make difficult decisions. And so I think that it's an exciting time for our area.
And we know that we're going to hear of more and more babies. You've already told us that the bar has been set this year. Would you want to make an educated guess at how many babies we'll wind up having at Summit Healthcare before the end of the year?
You know, my guess would be close to between 950 and 1,000. That would be my guess.
Wow. We are growing. The White Mountains are growing, and how wonderful to have this available. Robin, you must interact with parents on a regular basis.
Yes.
Because you are their lifeline. They can tell, and I can even hear it in your voice, that you're very sure of what you have to say because you have that experience behind you to speak to. And parents need a lot of comforting during that time.
Yes. I find that usually that initial period when so much information and data is getting thrown at them, you can usually, if you can pull some of that back and start with, I'm not worried that your baby isn't going to be here. That's not that kind of problem. So sometimes just pulling back off of the medical information and just cutting more to, I think this is a relatively mild problem, or this is what we're seeing. And I've been talking to parents well over 30 years, and you tailor it. You can see who's having a problem and who needs to be talked to on about a different topic, or they need more detailed information, and you just know how they're responding to you if you're going in the right direction or not. But it's been very helpful to me to have seen both sides, both the parents that have been in Phoenix and now the parents that I can talk to up here, and I can relay to them how the parents were feeling that were down there and what a difference it is right now. They like the fact that they're talking to people that have a lot of experience in a more intensive unit than this, so that makes them feel comfortable that you'll be able to handle what's going on. Some parents need a lot of conversation, and some parents are in a withdrawal phase because they're all pretty much in a grieving state of not having the normal process of having the delivery, having their baby, and going home. So just like any other grieving stage, you can find people in any one of those places, and you need to tailor your conversation to adjust to that.
And we know that a lot of people are actually deeply afraid.
Yes. Well, I think fear, I think if you're talking about the parents, they would rather any of the things that you're doing to their children, that you were doing it to them, cut off an arm if you needed to, but don't hurt my child. Information is usually the best thing that we can do for parents in that type of situation, because you can't give them control and they're in an uncontrollable situation. So the best you can do is give them clear, concise information that allows them to walk through with you and understand what you're doing. It doesn't take all the fear away, but if you keep them apprised of what's going on, it starts to relax them a little bit. And as they gain trust that you know what you're talking about and they're seeing that as things go forward, you keep them abreast of things, then that rapport tends to grow better.
You are so right. Information is key. If you can just update people to let them know what is going on, I think that's the most important thing. I often say that you could be in a line, say, at the post office, and it could be out the door like at Christmas time, and you're not moving, and people are starting to get irritated, but all of a sudden someone comes out and says, you know what, we had an employee slip and fall or have a heart attack or whatever it is, and all of a sudden everybody is just fine. They appreciate information,
yes.
Update, and that is important, that updating. And for many parents, especially I imagine first-time parents, it is even more difficult.
They have no frame of reference. They have no frame of reference for a baby that would have been absolutely no problem. So now you layer on that, depending on what the level of acuity is, you may be going far outside of anything they could have even dreamt about. So when you're starting with the first-time parents, I think the thing that I say to all parents, though, all mothers, whether they're first-time or 10th time, I never meet a mother that doesn't feel that she's somehow responsible for the situation her child is in. And that guilt, added to the hormonal upheaval that's going on, I try to make sure that they know that they're not alone in that thought, that that's something that every mom that I talk to over many, many years has been that way. That allows them to relax. And sometimes it allows them to verbalize if they're having those. The worst parents can sometimes have the best babies, and the best parents can sometimes have the babies that have the biggest problems. So you just, again, that communication and trying to let them know that you understand where they're coming from and you're not being judgmental about anything, I think that really helps put them at ease. And again, just making sure that they understand the changes can help that fear recede a little bit.
I'm so glad you said that, because just yesterday I was in the presence of someone who was looking at a picture of a mom's baby, and it was the lady's second baby. And she said, he is so good. He sleeps all night long. He is just an amazing child. He gets up smiling. And the lady said to her, that is indicative of the kind of mother that you are. And I immediately had the thought, I know a lot of good mothers that have babies that scream all night long, have colic or other issues going on. So that's not really true, is it?
No. And there's no one that I've ever dealt with in 30 years that intentionally set out to create any adverse problem for their child.
Absolutely. Moms, as you mentioned, moms and dads, because
yes.
It's true, they would rather have something happen to them than their children. There is no doubt. Sarah, I want to switch back. I remember when you took over Women and Infant Services, and there have been quite a few changes. You have really been at the crux of it. You know, you look at what was there, and people are just saying the best things about the Level 2 nursery today.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. That's very, very generous. You know, it's been a team effort. I would not say that it's been all of my hard work, because I would not be telling the truth. I have a wonderful staff behind me that helps us and really wants the best for every mother and every baby that enters our organization. We have a great administration that really supports us and has really supported this move to serve our community, and the board as well. They really would like to serve our community. And I think that that's indicative of all the expansion that's going on throughout the organization. And so, you know, there's been a lot of people that have put this in motion, and we have made a lot of progress. And it's been great to see the growth over the last 3 years that I've been the director.
And there's going to be more. I can definitely tell as I drive around the hospital parking lot. I think to myself, okay, we have a 5-story tower, which definitely we needed. Now we're going to have a parking deck. Surely that has to be in the cards on the drawing table, because more and more people are coming locally that went away before. I love seeing that people really, they look at our community as an integral part of their lives, and they want to do things locally. They have found that the SHINE program at Summit Healthcare is why you two are sitting here in this interview today, because you represent the kind of people that they hire. They don't just hire anyone. They make sure that anyone that comes on board is a good fit with the organization.
We work really hard on everyone having the same standard in our SHINE behaviors. And an employee made the SHINE logo, and it was really neat to see that come from the ground up. So we hire the best employees. We really look for our employees and hire the best employees. And Summit really puts in a lot of effort to expand and grow our employees, send them to educational opportunities, bring education on the mountain in order for people to really excel in our organization and provide the best care.
Knowledge is power. We hear it all the time. And I always say that knowledge with action is real power, because you have to actually implement it for it to work. I want to turn the tables for just a moment, since we're talking about your entire department. And these days, people can have rooming in, which was very popular many, many years ago in the military.
Yes, we provide couplet care. The old model was postpartum, where one nurse would take care of the mom and another nurse would take care of the baby. Now, once a baby is born, if the baby is stable and the mom is stable, and everyone's doing well, the baby stays in the room with the mom. We encourage the care partner to stay and be a part of that care of that mother and learning how to take that baby when they go home. It's really important that parents learn how to take care of that baby and be in the room and feed that baby, change the baby, learn how to bathe. And we're there to assist them with that and provide education through that, but it's really important for those families to be a part and to take an active role in the care of those babies.
Bonding.
Exactly, bonding. It really promotes bonding.
It does, and I know that you offer several different kinds of education, because we know that breastfeeding is so important, and that's one of the areas that you guys make sure that parents understand.
Yes, we have Summer Lang, who is our lactation consultant, and she is available to help moms who are struggling with breastfeeding. We also offer prenatal classes that are free to any expectant mother, and those are given by Sue Robertson at our facility, and so we do offer classes. From time to time, we offer sibling classes for them to come in and see the hospital, so it's not as scary of an experience when their mom goes into labor and they're seeing her with this new baby.
I love all of these things, because I think that young children want to know why. I am so much better when I know why we are doing something, and they want to understand, and they need to be part of the process so that they're not jealous of that sibling. That's the perfect place to lay the groundwork to avoid sibling rivalry. Now, you may have some of it later on, but it does help lay the groundwork. I think you guys are doing an incredible job. Is there anything new coming up on the horizon that we don't know about?
We are going to be one of the first in Arizona to offer neonatal telemedicine services in our Level 2 nursery. As part of our agreement with Neonatology Associates Limited in Phoenix, we will have 24/7, 365 access to a neonatologist in Phoenix if there's ever any question regarding a neonate in our nursery. So they will be able to not only view the baby, but they're able to listen to the baby via a stethoscope. They can look in the baby's ears with an otoscope. We can take an EKG and they can look at the baby's heart rate. We also are able to zoom in and look at any, let's say that there is a rash or something unusual on the baby. We're able to zoom in and able to, the neonatologist would be able to look at that and provide feedback on if we think that this is something that can be done as an outpatient or something that needs to be evaluated further before the baby goes home.
All of this new technology has really changed the way that we do medicine today, and it is so comforting for people that live about 3 hours from a large metropolitan area to allow them to live here in comfort. I think that is important. And then, Robin, knowing that you have come on board, and with all your years of experience, that really does make a difference. I think that there are many parents out there, some that have challenges and know that they're going to have challenges with the pregnancy. And we have great OBGYN.
We do.
I would echo what Sarah was saying before. I found that on every level since coming to Summit Healthcare, there has been a welcoming atmosphere. People have done everything that they can do to make the process as smooth as possible and to augment and amplify the services that we have. The staff nurses are wonderful, experienced, hardworking people that have really embraced us being here. So it's really been a very positive transition for us.
I'm excited about all of this. And so, of course, we're going to be looking forward, wondering how many babies will actually be born at Summit Healthcare this year. And happy to know that we can keep many of them that we weren't able to keep before. And also to provide that transition, if they do have to go off the mountain, to be able to come back and maybe be in the hospital here, because that transition is very important. And to have those people available that they will be dealing with after the fact, even if they had to go off, makes all the difference in the world. Because I know this, you want to be able to dial the number when you need to, especially if you're a first-time mom. And that little neonate, that's a very big thing. You want to be sure you do everything right. And how I love that you said you help alleviate some of that guilt, because it's not their fault. So it's good to know this. But I want to thank you both for being on the show today. This has been incredible information. And like I said, if you know someone, if you listen to this show and you were so amazed with some of the information, and you know someone out there that really needs to hear it, please invite them to listen on Sunday night at 7 p.m. on News Talk 970 and 1270. And again, they can go on the internet, 970kvwm.com, during the show, the time that it is played. It can be heard from anywhere in the world. So Sarah Basinger and Robin Wells, thank you for being my guest.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And you've been listening to The Pulse, your connection to the heartbeat of the medical community, bringing you the latest healthcare information, newest technology, and up-close and personal interviews with the physicians and employees who serve Summit Healthcare Regional Medical Center. Thank you for joining us.